Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we investigate the book of 2 Timothy and discover powerful truths about mentorship from a father-to-son perspective. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Appreciate you having a desire to learn the Bible and to spend some time every day just thinking about Bible principles. Our approach in the book of 2 Timothy is a little bit different than it was, for instance, back in the book of Acts, where many of the passages were more narrative. And so you cover more verses in one swath, whereas an epistle like 2 Timothy is just power-packed with principles every single verse. So we've been going a little bit more slowly, but that's okay. And talking about mentorship and influencing people. And today we're in a very familiar verse, and that is verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. So, Caleb, good to have you back. Why don't you read verse 7 for us?
Sure. The Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind."
So what a great principle. One thing we know about Timothy's struggle is that Timothy struggled with confronting people. Paul was constantly having to remind him, "Timothy, you've got to stand for truth. You've got to be willing to stand up against false teachers." Timothy struggled in that people were criticizing him for his relative youth in ministry. "Let no man despise thy youth." I would say it this way, Caleb. Mm-hmm. Timothy struggled with timidity. That's a good way for me to remember it.
Yeah.
Timothy, timidity. That was kind of his besetting sin.
Yeah, and you know, in verse 6, he was telling them, "Hey, remember to stir up that gift of God that he's given you. Utilize what God has given you." And he said, because you can use that, because that fear that you have, that timidity that you have, is not of God. And then he continues to say, "But God has given you, you know, power, love, sound mind. He's equipped you with everything you need to accomplish that task."
So often when you study your Bible, or you'll hear a Bible teacher say things like, there are indicatives in the Bible, and then there are imperatives in the Bible. And indicative is that which is true, something about which God declares over you. And then there is an imperative, and that's what you ought to do with it. So verse 7 is an indicative. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So the spirit of fear, this angst, this anxious, this fearful attitude and spirit, I think the implication here is, Timothy, you're feeling fear. Timothy, you're intimidated. And we're going to see next verse, he was so fearful that he was even not wanting to identify with Christ or identify with the Apostle Paul. And think about the reasons why he would be afraid. Roman government is clamping down. People are being arrested. People are being persecuted. Paul is going to be executed. I mean, that's something to be afraid of.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, you read that verse just at surface view and you're like, come on, Timothy. Yeah, we know this to be true. But I think even as Christians today, we're so quick to be afraid to identify with God. And it comes in different forms today, I think. But all at the same time, it is man-made. It's not God-given, that spirit of fear. And so we find ourselves being timid to share something on, you know, maybe social media because we don't want to be pinned as that person, or we don't want to be identified as the Christian where we work. We don't want to be identified with that church because I'm not a religious person, or, you know, it, we just find ourselves so many times just altering ourselves in the way that we live around others. At the end of the day, it's just a selfish fear that we have, and Paul as a discipler is continuing to encourage and edify him and say, hey, I know you have this, but this is what God offers and is available in Christ, is that power and love and sound mind.
The opposite of fear is not confidence. You would think it would be.
Yeah.
But the opposite of fear in the Bible is faith.
Yeah.
Faith is fear's antonym. So instead of having the spirit of fear that, and I'll just say this too, you can't control feeling fear. You're going to feel, feeling
natural.
Fear is natural. It's a human condition. What Paul is saying here is not that, Timothy, it's a sin to feel fear. All he's saying is identify that that didn't come from God.
Yeah.
So don't take counsel of your fears. Mm. Take counsel of what you know to be true. That's where faith comes in. Faith says, I believe God, and I believe the things that God has declared over me. Okay, so what is it that Paul is signaling in verse 7 ought to be the fear busters? Okay, well, watch it there. So he says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. So as believers, we have power. And so what power do we have?
We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the power of God he has equipped us with the power, not in our own selves, but through his Spirit, to be able to overcome whatever God has, you know, put in our way.
So are you afraid today? I can understand that. I can identify with that. But don't take counsel of that fear. Why? Because you are a person endued with power. You have the third person of the Trinity living inside of you.
Yeah.
You have the power of the gospel that has now invaded your life. It's the power of God unto salvation. Not just your salvation from the penalty of sin and hell, but it's the power to live for God every single day. So we have to be concentrating on the fact that we have the Holy Spirit of God. I know you can be fearful, but don't take counsel of that fear. Mm. Take counsel of the fact that you have power. So that's number one.
Right.
That's number one. So, but he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and then of love. Mm. So when God says that we have love, what does that speak to you, Caleb?
It speaks to me about the love of God, to be able to get through those things. That God's love is what sustains us. And so not only do we have the power of the Holy Spirit, but we have the love of God in our lives.
And love is the optimal climate in which change takes place.
Hmm.
There's not one thing that you can do today that will make God love you any more than he already loves you. And there's not one thing you can do today to make God love you any less than God already loves you.
It's incredible.
So it's the foundation of love that is, it's the soil of love in which all the other Christian graces grow. That's why it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Yeah.
And then joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on and so forth. It is love. God so loved the world. It's the love of Christ that constrains me, the Apostle Paul said. When we consider the fact that God loved us enough to die for us, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What's Paul's argument there in Romans 8? The argument is that if God loved us so much he gave us Jesus, then what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing.
Yeah.
And then he lists all these things. Can tribulation or distress or persecution or, you know, famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. Why? Because we have God's power and we have God's unfailing, unchanging love.
Wow. I mean, if that doesn't do it for you, I don't know what will. It's just, and he's not done. He said, I still have something else. I have of a sound mind. Why don't you speak to that? What does he mean by the sound mind?
Okay, well, and I will, but let me just go back and say that, can you see why the spirit of fear dominates your thinking?
Yeah.
The situation you're facing, the the lack of confidence in the circumstances that you're now experiencing. Mm-hmm. I understand how fear works, okay? But God says, don't take counsel of what's going on around you. Take counsel of what God has done in you. You have the Holy Spirit that indwells you. There's power. You have the love of God that is yours. It is unchangeable. It is unbreakable. And then you have a sound mind. A sound mind speaks to the fact that you now know who you are. You have thinking that has invited eternity to provide the perspective. So as a believer, we have a sound mind in that we know where we came from. Mm-hmm. We know what we were. We know what we now are in Christ, and we know where we're going. So we have that eternal perspective. There's a healthy way of thinking now because we have evidence that the world does not have. So the world makes crazy decisions because they think that the sum total of pleasure is now. They feel like if I don't get it now, they feel if bad things are happening now, everything is physical, everything is temporal, so there's no soundness of thinking. But as believers, we have this perspective that the world does not have.
Yeah. And what a peace all that brings to the believer. And as we opt to choose faith over fear, you'll see that fear start to dissipate, and you end up having this peace about you because you have that, you understand the power that you have, the love of God, and then that eternal perspective and the sound mind.
So the battle so often is a battle between how you feel and what you know. And that's the battle between fear and faith. So faith says, here's what I know to be true about God. And therefore, here's what I know to be true about me because I'm in Christ. So what's true about me? I have the Holy Spirit. What's true about me? I have God's unfailing love. What's true about me? I have this incredible, healthy perspective, okay? Well, make your decisions out of the soil of those three instead of making your knee-jerk decision in fear. Hmm. Now, all of this is a setup.
Yeah.
All of this, because in verse 7, this is the indicative. Timothy, this is what's true about your life. And if this is what's true about your life, then I'm going to encourage you to make a decision based upon the truth.
Yeah, no, that's good. And it's and again, it's just as Paul continues to pour into him, he just sets him to remind him of, hey, you have this faith, you have this power in God. It's through Christ. Don't be worried. And then we'll see that imperative of what he's supposed to do with that truth.
And what an important responsibility for a mentor, because a mentor is going to see another person's life objectively. The illustration I use often is a mentor is like a rear view or a side view mirror on your car. Okay, there are things you can't see when you drive.
Yeah.
So the mirrors help you to see your blind spot. Now we have backup cameras and everything out now. If you drive a Tesla, you don't even need to drive.
Right.
But the whole point is it covers your blind spot.
Yeah.
So what is Paul doing? Paul is saying, Timothy, let me tell you some things that are true about you that Timothy knew, but in the moment, fear is so loud.
Hmm.
Fear is so obnoxious. Fear commands so much attention, says, look at me, look at me, look at me.
Yeah.
That sometimes you need somebody else to say, no, let me give you this perspective that you already know that you have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yeah, it almost puts those spiritual blinders on. It's a tunnel vision, and now all you know and all you, or rather the way you feel and everything you think is clouded by that fear. And so now my perspective is just all vetted through that fear. And that discipler, his job is to say, hey, let's stop a moment. Let's understand that we have these things available to us and see the bigger picture. And as you said, you've got to rely on what you know rather than you feel.
Yeah, your life is not defined by the fear that is shouting at you right now, my friends. your life is defined by what God has declared to be true about you as a believer. And so try to operate within the scope of what God has declared to be true about your life. I hope that helps today. My friends, I hope you have a great day in the Lord, and we'll see you back next episode. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.